Blog Talk Radio.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Well, good evening to everyone. Welcome to the Past Coach Past Network. I'm your host, M.H. Scott, and we're here again on Blog Talk Radio to do another wonderful show. A show with you in mind, a show with you in mind as a parent of an athlete, of a future athlete, of a current, former, or past athlete, however you want to look at it. But either way we look at it, our children are actually out there doing something like that. My man, Mr. Keith Wright, just said, and his opening piece that I like to always play, he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. And you know I always got to throw out this piece about Keith being a graduate of the University of Harvard. Yes, University of Harvard, I did say. Played ball up there at Harvard. At the same time, walked away with a degree in Harvard. And if I'm not mistaken, he has a little foundation going on, and I'm going to try to get him to come on here sometime soon and just share some information about what he got going on currently. I think he's still out there playing ball somewhere, either overseas or at the developmental league level. But I believe he's still out there playing ball. I know he has a foundation going on because I just recently talked to his mom about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And she wants to put something together. So Parents Coach Parents Network will probably be doing some work with them in the near future. But parents, as always, I like to say, you know, good evening. And this is another one of the shows that we're going to bring some information. We're going to bring something to you that you may not have heard before. And if you heard it before, just take it as that. Note it. Log it in. Record it, whatever you need to do with it, but make sure you remember it when it comes back around again. But I'm going to give you some time to go ahead and get your pens and pencils together and bring out that piece of scratch paper because we're going to be laying some stuff down here today. That's going to, again, make you want to say, So, on that note, I met this gentleman that we're going to have on here this evening as our guest. I met him, I want to say approximately about 10 years ago. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it's been about 10 years ago. And in doing so, he opened my eyes to so many different things. And if you noticed, I titled this segment of our podcast tonight, you know, how can we help? How can we assist our children? You know, how can we assist our children as athletes to make sure that they get the best out of their situation? Of course, we all know we do the financial thing because we got to make sure that they're able to get to wherever they want to go. But in doing that, hold on a second. I'm being overwhelmed with text messages. But in doing that, we want to make sure that we do a few other things to make sure that they are going to be able to get the best out of this situation. And the guest that we have coming on tonight, like I said, he opened my eyes to quite a few different things in the sporting industry. But not only that, the biggest thing that I can say that he contributed to the success of my child is the level of professionalism. Professionalism, attention to detail, all that came in one huge package. And I was like, okay, hey, this is a guy right here is serious about his craft, serious about his business. And I see from here, from this point forward, everybody else got to reach this standard. Well, folks, I'm talking about my man, Mr. Gannon Baker. I won't bring Gannon on here with us in a few minutes, but let me tell you what I know about Gannon. Hopefully, Gannon's going to come on and share some additional information thereafter. You know, I met Gannon approximately about 10 years ago. I think somewhere around 2005, 2006 time frame. It may even have been before that. When my son was doing some high school workout, and I wanted to see if he can sharpen his skills and somebody to help him bring out just a little bit more in him that I thought he had in him. You know, I knew he had some potential, but I wasn't going to be the one that was going to coach it out of him. Someone had to coach it out of him that would help him step his game up to the next level or help show him that he has this potential, now put it into effect. So somehow I came across Gannon's name. I don't even recall how. I came across his name and, you know, I reached out to him and asked him about, you know, what he do and so on and so forth and what his fees was, so on. You know, so getting through the small stuff, he told me come on out to the school. You know, he'll take a look at him and check him out and see what he got going on. I said, okay, cool. Nevertheless, school was about 30 minutes, 40 minutes away from where we live, but we made the trip out there. And from that point forward, to me, it created a respect for this man, a friendship with this man, that to this day I would still like to refer to him as my friend, not only a guest on our show this evening, but as my friend and a friend of our family, you know, because just the way he conducted himself and handled his business was amazing to me. You know, coming from a military background, you had to be on, you know, you had to be on top of, you had to be able to dot all I's and cross all T's, you know, with that military background. So when this man stepped up and he showed me that that's what he was about, it impressed me. You know, he played some ball at the high school level and played a little bit more at the college level and went on to do some things. And I'm going to let him tell you a little bit more about that part. So, folks, without me just continuing to keep on rambling, I'm going to go ahead and see if Gannon's on the line with us. And if so, join in on the conversation, Gannon. Are you out there?
Hey, yeah, Mike, loud and clear, man. I appreciate the kind words.
Always, brother, always. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's good to be on, man. I consider you a friend. You know, you don't have to see a friend every day. You just have to have a common bond and some common experiences, man. And it's been long overdue, but I'm glad we connected again.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for taking the time out of. I know you have a busy schedule because when I first met you, like I was saying earlier, you know, you were doing some stuff around here, but at the same time trying to maintain the few things you had going on overseas. And, you know, and now you I don't even know what you do now. You just got everything going on. Global, you got a global function going on there.
Yeah, man. The Lord's blessed me with a good career. You know, it's a small business, but I have about 4 employees, and I've, you know, I've trained since I met you in 41 countries, 5 continents, about 250 NBA players, WNBA players, and you know, I live down here in Florida now, it's a beautiful life, and I got a great family, and basketball has been a vehicle to, you know, to help be a pillar in society, so to speak. So I'm honored to be able to sow into others.
Well, we definitely appreciate all the hard work that you have put into, you know, not only my child, but other children. And, you know, I've seen it firsthand, you know, the camps that you used to have over there at Virginia Wesleyan once upon a time when you was running double sessions all week by yourself. And I'm like, okay, how is this guy doing this? You know, he's out there. Your folks, when I'm talking about the ultimate professional, we got him on the topic with us this evening. And I'm not saying that just to blow his horn or just trying to give him an extra accolade. I'm talking about the standard where anybody else I see training young men, hey, young ladies, if they're not at that standard, I'll be first one to go over and tell one of the parents, hey, I want you to tell us a little bit about your basketball history.
Well, you know, I started playing the game when I was 8 years old, right across the street from my parents. My grandfather put up a goal, and right there in Hampton, Virginia, off of Kickitan Road and Shell Road. And then I, you know, ended up falling in love with the game and really started to work at the game when I was 13 and played at Ham High School. And won a state championship there with Walter Brower and was runner-up my senior year. So, you know, we had a good career there. Ended up playing, you know, had about 31 Division I scholarship offers. Ended up going to Duquesne University. Played there 2 years, made the all-rookie team, started, and our coach ended up getting fired, so I transferred to UNC Wilmington and ended up starting there and got a lot of awards, a lot of academic awards. Got a leadership award for the conference. That meant a lot to me. We ended up winning the conference but lost in the tournament, so we didn't go to the NCAAs. I ended up getting hurt during that summer after I graduated, so I went into college coaching. Coached at Hampton University, Belmont Abbey, Coastal Carolina. Was assistant coach for 5 years. Ended up getting a master's in kinesiology. So I'm pretty proud of that. I got, you know, an undergrad. I got a high school degree, and then I have a master's. So I got 3 degrees, and it's always been important to me. And got tired of coaching, so in the year 2000, I went over to Iceland, played professionally over there for a year. Did real well. Came back, though, had surgery on my ankle. I tore a tibial tendon unexpectedly and started training. And then a year later, wanted to give playing one more shot. And the Denver Nuggets, I sent my tapes out to them. An agent of mine got me a tryout in their summer league. Their summer camp. So I went out there, Carmelo Anthony's rookie year, ended up making through about 3 cuts. And if you can believe it, man, I shattered my knuckle. So I got cut. They said I wasn't good enough anyway to be put on injured reserve. So that's when I knew it was God's, you know, will for my life to train and to be a player development coach. So through injury, I guess my calling has always been what I'm doing now, and that's, you know, teach kids life skills and teach their purpose through the platform of basketball. So I've been doing it since 2001. And, you know, as I said, go all over the world and train players from age 10 all the way up to pro. And I even had my own prep school this past 3 years of guys trying to get to college. They wanted to give, you know, playing one more shot out of high school. And our prep school was called Elevate, and we were top 8 in the country. We were really good. We had 5 teams, and half our kids got full rides. So, you know, it was a joy to really work with the parents and the players the last 3 years, because this was their last, you know, hurrah, their last shot at trying to get a college scholarship. So I enjoyed helping so many kids do that. And you know, so I'm currently doing that, living in Coral Springs, Florida, and I head to China and Philippines here Tuesday for a month to do some work. And, you know, schedule's always filled, so I'm blessed.
Hey, man, you just packed a whole lot in over a very short time period. You know, everything that you just did with us, you would think that a man has done all this in like a time period of 20 or 30 years. But I'm quite sure the time period has been a lot shorter than that, than you have done quite a bit. And I commend you for all the hard work that you're doing. And
thank you.
We appreciate it. You know, you talked about, you know, a number of athletes that you have trained, worked with. And you talked about some of the little ones, talked about some of the older ones, Fresno and so on and so forth. I've actually seen you work with, you know, some of the kids, or I should say elementary school kids. You know, what is some of the major high skills basketball?
You're breaking up, Mike. What was that again?
Okay, I'm trying to get what are some of the life skills that basketball helps our children develop?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I think every coach, you know, every coach's main goal should be to develop life skills, you know, especially at the grassroots level. Now, you know, when you get to the professional ranks, it's all about winning and the business and, you know, sometimes even in college. But I think grassroots coaches have to have a why on every drill, every day, every game of how they're going to teach these kids how to be what I call living trophies, how they can succeed in life. But to me, the number one thing I learned, and I think kids can learn, is how to break laziness in their life. You know, if you're with a true coach, you know, he's going to make you feel uncomfortable. He's going to get all in your stuff, quote unquote. He's going to go right to your heart and show you, you know, your weaknesses. A lot of the techniques I use to train professional athletes, NBA players, WNBA players, is I show them what they can't do. You know, I really get into their weaknesses and try to give them solutions to their problems. So, you know, laziness is something that all kids have. It's their nature. And so if you can teach the ability to work hard, you know, you're always going to have opportunities in life. Number two is poverty. I think all kids and all people want to be rich. And I'm not talking about financial. That's a byproduct of, you know, being rich in spirit, being rich in emotion, being rich in, you know, mentally, being rich physically. I think, you know, poverty, there's a poverty mindset in a lot of average, below average people's life. And so I try to use basketball to teach these kids how to get an education, because I remember Oprah Winfrey saying once that education is the quickest way out of poverty. So, you know, I teach these kids to use their passion to get an education. And that's not just in the books. I mean, that's what you're doing right now, Mike. You're giving the community an education on how to raise their kids the right way and how to have, quote-unquote, heaven on earth. You know, how to have keys to the kingdom of success in life, because success is colorblind and gender-free. I know there's a lot of negative out there, but if you have the values of education and you have an unbreakable work ethic, you know, those are two values that are going to just set you free and really give you a lot of opportunities. So education to me is following successful people, having a mentor, doing what they do, asking questions, doing research on what your potential career is, you know, having quiet time and not technology time as a teenager, and really find out, you know, what's my calling, what's my purpose, what's life like after sports, because sports is going to leave me probably between the ages of 18 to 26. So what am I going to do for the rest of my life? And number three, I think, you know, outside of breaking laziness, breaking poverty, I think kids can learn diversity. I mean, that's God. I mean, our world needs to embrace diversity right now. There's a lot of different people in the United States, and the media is portraying a lot of hate, but I think what sports can do is portray a lot of positive. I mean, I was the only white dude on my basketball teams at Hampton High. I've been to, as I said, about 41 countries, and I'm a lot of times the only American. But that's the one thing, you know, growing up in Shell Road, King Street, Boys Club, mentor, you know, African-American males like Art Jones, Walter Brower, Mark Cooper, guys like that, man, Mark Williams. I mean, just took me under their wing and showed me that, you know, although the world is going to hate on you because of your color, it's about the character within your skin. And I learned diversity and how to embrace diversity through sports, through basketball, because now, I mean, you got Mexicans, Muslims, Christians, homosexuals all in your locker room. And, you know, I don't care what kind of label the world puts on them, they're all good people, and you have to get along with them or you're not going to win or you're not going to have fun. So I think those three things, I think all coaches should have like a platform of some life skills that they teach. And those are the three ones that my wife and I teach in any environment.
Well, we definitely, you shared some golden nuggets with us just now. And you mentioned something we'll miss out on. You talked about, you know, some of your mentors. You talked about, you know, just being able to get along with folks. You talked about just having that openness and that peace of mind and understanding that at the end of the day, what you're doing out there on the court is a bigger picture to life. You know, it's a bigger picture to whether or not you're going to be able to reach your own personal level of success by the way you are treating others and by the way you're able to deal with others. You know, that part you talk about laziness, oh, man, that in itself, if we can take that and bottle that and inject that into some kids, I think the whole world would turn over because that is a key part that really needs to work on.
Yeah, Mike, well, I mean, kids are afraid of pain. And the one thing kids have to do is embrace that pain. If they can do that, then they've overcome laziness. Because that's why they're lazy. They're afraid to go through and face that pain.
Well, you know, Gannon, it's funny that you say that because I recall the times bringing my child over there to you. And hitting the court for the first time. And him not really wanting to push because of being afraid of that pain, you know, not understanding, okay, this is how I'm going to get stronger. This is how I'm going to get better, you know. And something that you said to him then, I think it stuck with him, made him think about it for a while, and eventually sunk in to the point of him understanding that, okay, I can go out here and do this. So that alone.
Amen. Yeah, he's in a league now called No Boys Allowed. So he's turned into a man, that's for sure. I'm proud of Mike.
Yes. And definitely he thank you for everything that you have done and shared with him up to this point. You know, I know you put together the Gannon Baker's basketball and you did the prep camp Elevate. You know, give me some insight on, you know, the different types of players that you have worked with over the years. I know that you have worked with some here in the United States and some overseas, but you know, give me some insight on the different types of players and then follow that up with just a little different on, you know, European player compared to an American kid.
You know, when in America, you know, I've worked with, you know, East Coast kids and West Coast kids. And you know, some kids are cool, and then some kids are competitive. You know, East Coast kids, elite kids are more competitive, and West Coast kids sometimes are laid back and cool. I've worked with inner city kids who have a lot of rambunctiousness and energy, but they lack the decision-making. I've worked with a lot of suburban kids that, you know, have a great understanding of the game but are soft and lazy and entitled. So you know, I've seen them all. You know, my mentor is John Lucas, and you know, he's seen them all, and you know, we both are blessed enough to be able to work with elite kids, but I think our heart is the grassroots kids because, you know, they do have issues and they do immature. I've worked with, you know, kids in Europe, young kids as young as 10 all the way to 28. And those players over there are the most skilled at a young age I've ever seen because they get the coaching. You know, they have a culture of learning, and so the parents – you know, they value camps and clinics and training at an early age a lot more than exposure camps and ranking games and tournaments and AAU and showcases. So kids at an early age practice more than play. Now the negative is when they get older, they lack the weight training, the sports performance, the diet, and ability because the demographics and the geographics of their country. They have small countries. They don't get to play against good players. So that's where some of them don't shine as well as they did when they're younger because they don't get to play against better players. Which if they do, they'd get better. And they don't have good weight training facilities or weight coaches that emphasize the speed performance part of, you know, that. And then Asia. You know, I've been to Asia a lot. You know, Korea, Hong Kong, China, Taiwan. Those players have the Philippines. Those players have the most passion I've ever seen in my life. I mean, kids ages 10 all the way up to pro. Like, they love the game more than anybody I've ever seen. It's just they're not very good. Just, I mean, everything from skill to toughness to IQ. And the reason is because there's no coaching going on. And they're if you follow the trend of the basketball business, you know, China's spending more money to get better coaching. That they're partnering with the NBA a lot more to get these kids better coaching. I've signed with three companies in China to do media work, to get training tutorial videos on the internet. I'm actually doing a reality TV show during NBA games over there, and they want to get the word out about training and everything you experienced with your son, Mike. Just everything that I bring to the table, I'm bringing it to the Chinese culture. So I will say this now: in 20 years, if they end up doing well in the Olympics and having more NBA players, I might have a little something to do with it. So,
well, that's great. That's great to know. And you know, I think when I first heard about you taking those overseas and doing that work overseas, I think you were doing a lot out of Australia at the time, wasn't you? At one point in time.
Yeah, I've been to Australia about 8 times, and you know, those players over there, it's good you brought them up. They're probably the toughest, the most aggressive player. I mean, Della Dova is a prototypical Australian, you know, not very athletic, but just tough as nails and is not afraid of anything.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, and thinking about all that and thinking about, you know, player development, what would you say would be the basic fundamental skill that every player must have to get their game really going? Because you talk about, you know, a lot of the players, especially a lot of foreign players that have a passion for the game. You know, what are some of the things right that every player can develop just to get their game going?
Well, I mean, you got the fantastic four skills. You know, you got driving. And, you know, I think a lot of American kids misconstrue that to dribbling. I think a lot of American kids can dribble. A lot of them can't drive. And drive is actually attacking the rim, making two play you, and then you find somebody, or scoring a bucket or getting fouled. You know, number two, shooting. I mean, you know, you and I could go right – you know, this is not a – a big forest, you and I could go out and beat many NBA players in mid-range jumpers. Because there's even at that level, overall, there's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of bad shooters out there. I'm amazed at how bad shooting is in the United States. Finishing, I mean, a lot of females have trouble finishing. So that's a big skill that I think kids need to learn at an early age. And probably in that order. Number three, passing. It's not fun to work on. A lot of coaches don't work on it. If you can believe it, I'm working out the Philippines professional champion. We have the NBA. They have the PBA. So their best professional team called the Alaska Aces in the Philippines has asked me to work their team out in 2 weeks. And one of the skills he wants me to work on is feeding the post. I was like, Coach, they're pros. He's like, yeah, they can't feed the post. So we're going to work on a lot of team passing and catching drills. And number four is footwork. You know, kids don't know how to relocate and space off the post feed. They don't know how to relocate and space off the drive. They can't get open where they want. I mean, they can get open, but they can't get open where they want it. And I know that's something that I work with Mike a lot on in high school. I know when he came back from Virginia, he worked my camp, and we worked after camp a lot of getting open in the mid post, getting open at the elbow, the pinch post, you know, going to a spot, your spot, and say, I'm going to get the ball here no matter what you do. And that's not taught a lot at the grassroots levels. Boo Williams and I did a very good grassroots DVD called Moving Without the Ball. So, you know, I'm trying to teach it, but it's a lost art. So I would say those four skills are lacking. And then the mental skill of decision making of all those skills is lacking. But that's the kind of the five things that I teach: decision making off shooting, cutting, passing, and finishing, and driving.
Okay. So if you haven't had a chance to take those notes, you can always listen to the podcast again. But he just laid out some golden nuggets, parents. If you have that young athlete, and that athlete is definitely into the game, start with those fundamentals. All the other stuff, the dribbling and the fanciness and the 3-point shooting and all this other crazy stuff that you, the dunking and carrying, okay, all well, fine and dandy. But if you don't know what to do when you first get the ball, then you might as well go ahead and put the ball back on the rack. You know, and that's where I see it and I see it. You know, Gannon, this is definitely a lost art when we talk about passing the ball, you know. And they've actually, you know, did a lot of our athletes some big injustice now that we're watching, you know, watching the NBA. And I'm thinking about the Splash Brothers. Them fellas, and now that you've added Kevin Durant to that mix, they've taken the game to another level. And in doing so, it's creating something in the mind of our young athletes. As soon as you step across court, you need to be prepared to throw the ball up. You know, how do we get past that? How do we get back to the fundamentals? How do we add just a solid foundation to the game to understand that that's not your primary shot anymore? That's just an option.
You know, that's a great point. The ownership goes to the parents, and the responsibility goes to the coach. You know, the parents have to own their child's career and give them positive, realistic feedback if they, you know, do the research and know what they're talking about. If not, then responsibility falls on the coach to educate these players that, you know what, when Steph Curry was 10, 11, 12, he wasn't shooting 40 feet from the basket. You know, when Klay Thompson was in high school, he didn't take those kind of shots. If you watch, you know, if you remember watching Klay at Washington State and Steph at Davidson, I mean, they had better shot selection in college because they weren't as good as they are now. So kids are seeing, you know, if Steph has 50 chapters in his book of life, I mean, they're seeing chapter 40. These kids are living in chapter 3 or 4 where Steph is in chapter 40. So there's a whole educational piece that these kids, number one, must learn how to shoot the right way in the paint. And then once they get better at that, then they increase their range to the free throw line and then high school three. And, you know, I agree, Mike. I got these 15, 14-year-olds in my workout. And when you see them play one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three, man, they're shooting NBA threes. And there's bad shot after bad shot after bad shot. So, again, the coach and the parent must educate these kids about the progression of learning skills the right way. So I don't. It's not Steph's fault. It's not Klay's fault. They're doing what they're supposed to do because they can. Because they can. And now instead of, you know, Steph shooting 1,000 college threes, he's shooting 1,000 NBA threes because that's the level where he's at. So I don't blame Steph and Klay at all. I blame the high school coaches and the trainers that these guys have not telling them the truth.
Yeah. Exactly. No, I wasn't trying to put any of the blame on them, gentlemen. It was just, you know, the perception of what the media showed and how our kids take towards thinking that, you know, that's the reality. You know, I can step out of kindergarten and now I'm shooting up jumpers that's 25 feet away without
exactly.
having any signals underneath my belt. Well, folks, if you want to join in on the conversation, you can always join us at 917-889-8095. I think we have a couple of callers on the line there, and let me see. Sounds good. I got you on that message there, Gannon. But let's get to this caller first before we wind this thing down. Hold on a second. Good evening, caller. Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Area code 973. Caller.
Hi.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. Hi, this is Jackie Gibbs, and I'm one of the leads in Mothers of Athletes. So we give, our motto is to enlighten, empower, and educate mothers of athletes. And you did a great job talking, you know, about some of the things that we need to do to get our children ready for, you know, the advances in, say, basketball or whatever sport. But you also just stated that it's the responsibility of the parent and the coach to really set kind of the mindset of the kids. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, what do you envision a parent doing to assist in the child's development and progress to where, say, they want to be as a D1 athlete and beyond?
Is that question directed to me or Mike?
To you. You stated that, you know, it was part parent and part coach, and I just wanted to ask you to elaborate on what kind of actionable steps, what do you see parents need to do better to ensure that their kid is moving in the right direction?
Okay. Number one, establish a certain age where you have to have a hard conversation with him or her about being dedicated to the sport. So, in my opinion, I think you should let kids play whatever sport they want to play and don't address their lack of discipline or attitude in that sport unless they ask you. For example, you got a 10, 11-year-old that doesn't work on his game and he complains that he's not playing or not winning. And, as a parent, I would ask him, would you like me to give you solutions? And if he says no, then you leave him alone. I think kids under 12 just need to have fun, need to experience their own feelings toward which sport they want to choose. Maybe it's one, maybe it's two. But when they turn 13, I think as a parent, you have a responsibility to, number one, make sure if they want to play Division I, because at that age, a lot of kids start to say, I want to play Division I soccer, football, whatever. Then you need to tell them, well, you're not good enough to get a Division I scholarship right now, so you need to quit cheerleading, a girlfriend, going out, whatever. You need to plan your day like you're in the military. You need to wake up at 5:30. You need to study during lunch. You don't need to stay in lunchroom for 40 minutes. Eat lunch 20 minutes with your friends and then go to the library to do your homework, so when you get home, you have more free time to work on your game. You don't need to play in these tournaments all the time. You need to go outside and work on your game by yourself and go to the boys' club and play pickup. So you gotta some kids aren't good enough to play multiple sports, because if they do, they don't have time to really focus on getting that scholarship. That's a hard conversation. Another hard conversation is these kids want to transfer. They want to transfer AAU because the coach stinks or whatever, or high school. And in my book, that's a no-no. Whatever, I don't care how bad that coach is, unless that coach is physically or emotionally abusive, then they can transfer. But a lot of kids transfer because they're not playing. And that's a hard conversation. I think parents need to step in and say, no, you're not quitting this team until they finish the season. And really, they shouldn't transfer high schools. They should figure it out, because if they can't play at their high school, they can't play Division I college. That's a hard conversation. And then the other hard conversation is when the kid does stick it out to play, the parent shouldn't have any meeting with the high school coach. The kid should figure it out, because if the kid can't figure out his high school coach, he ain't going to be able to figure out his college coach, and he won't probably get a good evaluation from his high school coach if he doesn't choose to have an open mind. So those are just – and I could write a book on that subject. I don't want to bore you or be too wordy, but that's just a small example of some of the conversation that you need to have with kids. I think kids need to do what they have fun at and pick the sport that they have the most fun at, and then try to work as hard as they can to make get a free education out of that sport. And then if they love it enough, to make a career out of that sport, like I have done. Just to mention a few things.
Thank you. Well, thank you. That was really good feedback. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Hey, Gary, I know you're coming close upon the time that you got to meet. Can you give us some contact information? We totally appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to join us this evening.
Yeah, if any parents or coaches ever want to consult with me on anything, because I really enjoy kids using basketball to get an education in school and in life, and that's kind of what I do, is help kids get that scholarship and find a calling in life through basketball. I can be reached at area code 757-652-8232, and my email address is Gannon, Gannon, at GannonBakerBasketball.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. If you Google me, you can find me. I'm always available. I promise if you email me about a life question or a basketball question, I'll get back to you within 48 hours.
Can you give me that number again? Because I would love to have you as a guest on our Mothers of Athletes.
Sure. It's 757-652-8232.
8232.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, and that information on the Parents Go to Parents Network Facebook page as well.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
If that's okay with you, Gannon.
That's fine. Yeah, I'm here to help, and you know, this is a good thing. That's why I agreed to do it. And Mike, anytime you need me on again, man, let me know.
Yes, sir. We thank you for sharing your insight and your nuggets with us, your golden nuggets with us, as far as things that just was eye openers to the parents. Truly appreciate it, man, and we're going to be talking to you soon.
All right. It's not rocket scientist, but I'm just another voice to echo the right thing.
All right, brother.
All right, Mike. See you, man.
Hey, you have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Jackie, are you still on?
Yes, I'm still on.
Okay, well, I seen you came in late, and I knew you had probably had a question or so, so I figured I'd bring you in and let you in. But yeah, he definitely shared some good information. And,
yeah, I thought what I really, really liked is his description of the different athletes that he's seen, not only throughout our country, but also outside of our country, and how they compare. And I'm not sure if you have this tape, but I think that that's valuable information for parents and for athletes, because now they know, you know, how they're viewed when, you know, overseas agents are looking at them, or the NBA, or whoever, you know, whatever sport that they're in. But the way he kind of broke that out, it was valuable information. And not sure if you have it, but that's something that I would like to really have posted on a website, so, you know, parents can go to it and say, you know, yeah, they need to do more dribbling, they need to do whatever. He actually set out a plan for kids,
yeah,
especially basketball, to be successful. So that was it was really great. Thanks for the insight.
Problem. Yeah, all of the shows are recorded, and you can go to our Parents Coach the Parents Network page on Blog Talk Radio and look at any one of the shows that we did all the way back to June of 2010. And they're still on there, and they keep them in the archives for us. And, you know, I go back and refer to them from time to time just to, you know, just to see what information I was sharing then and see has anything changed, or to make sure that, you know, information that I'm sharing is still relevant. It's been a good experience, and that's why I asked him to come on this evening, because I know the work he has put in. And like I tell parents all the time, and he set the tone as far as I was concerned, as far as what you look for in a trainer. If the trainer is not able to show your athlete what he is doing wrong, show that athlete by example, not just stand up there and draw some X's and O's on a piece of paper or whatever. He shows it to him. He demonstrates it. He shows it to him at game speed. And then he says, okay, this is what I want you to do. And if parents are going out here hiring these guys and they're not able to do that, then I think there's a problem. I think there's a problem, you know, because a lot of kids have to be able to see things in order for them to grasp, you know, especially when we're talking about the game of sports. So great thing that we had him on, and hopefully we'll get him back on. And like I said, he's done some great things over the years. And I don't know if you've seen the show page today. He had quite a few of his pictures up there with the different athletes that he's worked with over the years. Everybody from LeBron to Kyrie to Kevin to Anthony Davis to whoever, Kobe to whoever, all the guys. You know, he's either worked their camps or they'll work with them on different skill development things. So he's been around for a while, and he's made a nice little name for himself. Well, Jackie, tell us some of the things that's going on with Mothers of Athletes.
Well, every year we do Cancer Walk. We raise money for the American Cancer Society. So we had several moms. And actually this year we partnered with the Mothers of Professional Basketball to the walk in the state of Florida. We also had the state of Pennsylvania represent. We actually had the caller, Billy Taylor, today on Mothers of Athletes, and he actually, his resume was extensive in that he was a baseball player first, but then was actually drafted to the New York Giants NFL. He played 4 or 5 years for the New York Giants and then went on to a career as, I believe, an anchor. He did some news anchoring, and he was just really well-rounded. And it was a good lesson for our moms, and hopefully they'll take back to their athletes that networking is key to building your resume outside of the sport. Because, you know, sooner or later you're going to have to get something outside of the sport that you've been working in, and you have to start networking and building that resume before it's time to get that outside job. So that's sort of the things that we started our Mothers of Athletes with in this fourth quarter, and hopefully we'll move forward and beyond that for the end of the quarter and then the new year.
And that sounds like some great things. And I know that we still have our big show to do at some point in time. We just need to get the right guest in there to make sure that it is done the right way.
Yes.
And then some other things that we're working on as joint ventures. But it's a great thing that you're doing the Cancer Walk. And I know at one point in time you mentioned something about the toy drive. As far as with the moms as well. And, you know, we always say anytime we can step in and step up, please, by, hey, any means possible, we're there for you. If we can make it happen, then we're going to be there to try to work our hardest to do what we got to do.
Awesome. We appreciate that.
Oh, always. Well, I don't see any more callers. I think I have a couple callers online, but I think them are just a couple of great listeners that I always have. Let me see. I got another caller, area code 757771. Welcome to the Parents Culture Parents Network. Hello, caller. Okay, all right. Well, Jackie, anything else you want to share with us before we prepare to wind this show down?
Well, thanks, Mike. Another great show, and we appreciate your partnership.
We thank you. We need to continue to talk because we want to make sure that event that we were talking about, it turns into a reality.
Yes. We're looking forward to be able to educate our athletes in Las Vegas 2017.
Yes. Exactly. If not Las Vegas, wherever else they may have one of these huge events. That'll be great. That'll be great. All right, Jackie. Well, thank you again for joining in and coming on and sharing some insight of what's going on with Mothers of Athletes. I am M.H. Scott, the host of the Parents Plus Parents Network. And as always, we hope that you had a wonderful time, had some information that that was learned. And tell us how to reach you at Mothers of Athletes, Jackie.
Well, you can find us on the web at mothersofathletes.org. Feel free to sign up, and we meet every third Sunday of the month from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m., and we'd love to have you join.
All right. Thank you. Well, folks, as we prepare to wind down, you know, it's been fun. It's been real fun. And, you know, matter of fact, we didn't even have time this evening to cut out and go to our little infomercials. But I think the information that you receive, not only from our last caller that called in, Ms. Jackie Gibbs, but also from our guest, special guest, Mr. Gannon Baker of Gannon Baker Basketball, you know, just those nuggets of wisdom that he shared with us, I think, are very, 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 very valuable to the success of our children. You know, every day must be a learning experience. And every opportunity, we take advantage of those learning experiences. You know, and as Gannon said something today, and he really caught me off guard because, you know, when he talked about the will do, Jackie. When he talked about you know, children being lazy and that thing. You know, it's not that he was pointing the finger as far as, you know, we're raising a group of lazy children. He's just simply saying, you know, they have the desire to be a part of the game. They want to be in the game. They want to do their best at the game. But for whatever reason, they don't put forth all of the effort to get there. You know, to even include my own child when he first got started early on in middle school, high school time period. When, you know, he was kind of hesitant. And, you know, one thing that turned the corner with him, or one was a major eye-opener with him, was he realized that, hey, if I want to reach this level of success, then I'm going to have to be able to put in this work. And one thing that I did to help him understand that, and just show him, you know, just a reality check and show him where he was at in his progress. Well, I took him to an event where you had a lot of these young men that had really worked hard and showed, hey, playing in this game with them, you see where you're at, you see where they're at, but you know that you have the potential to be right there alongside them. And I think that was like one of the major eye openers. Think back to when I first took to an event. It was a evaluation clinic down at Wake Forest. And he got down there, and I very rarely tell this story, but when I do tell it, I let folks know that, hey, this is just what happened. Got down there and, you know, he was very comfortable in his game, or he tried to give the impression that he was very comfortable in his game. And he got down there and had a chance to, you know, although he was, you know, pretty good-sized young man at that time, about 6'6", 6'7", you know, he was bringing the ball up the floor, you know, because what they wanted to see, hey, can he handle the ball? Well, he was bringing the ball up the floor. Bringing the ball up the floor, he decided that he wanted to do one of his and one moves, you know, wave his hand, some stuff that Spider-Man or Trick Man or whoever was doing on the and one video. And shortly after he did that move and passed the ball or turned the ball over or whatever he did thereafter, the coach pulled him out the game. And I knew exactly what the conversation was going to be when the coach got him over to the sideline. And I briefly mention that to him again, and I didn't harp on it. I didn't, you know, push it down his throat. I just let him know. I said, son, you know, the whole time we was here, he ain't seen nobody out there trying to do no and one move. You know, you come out here and you do your and one move, next thing you know, you turn the ball over, and as an end result, coach got you on the sideline talking to you. So I guess that got the wheels thinking, got the wheels turning. Fast forward a few years later, took him to another event. I think that was probably the last that he went to. And at that camp, took him up there around, watched him a little bit shortly thereafter. Shortly thereafter, I had a chance to really observe him, notice that his game, his demeanor, his mentality, the whole everything was different. Got up there to, you know, at the conclusion of the camp, got up there to check him out, and what happened? He was MVP of the camp. And this was a different camp a couple years later, but it showed that he had matured, had came into his own as far as his game was concerned. So as a result, it all was based upon the work that we put in, folks, and help him realize that, you know, here's the important. If you really and truly want to do it, you can do it. Well, folks, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. I am your host, M.H. Scott. And as always, I say I thank you for joining us this evening. We'll see you again next Sunday night, same time, same station, same channel, here on Blog Talk Radio on the Parents Coach of Parents Network, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. We'll see you then. Have a great evening.